you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. It's a very powerful portion of Scripture that the Lord Himself is speaking to us. And today it's so applicable to our lives and to the lives of all who would ever claim to be a Christian, who claim true Christianity. We see it in this text in Luke 14, beginning in verse 25. Luke 14, verse 25, if you'll see at the top of your heading there, it says the cost of discipleship. And we know that being a born-again Christian is a free gift of God. It's the mercy of God. It's His grace. It's His goodness to us. And that doesn't cost us a penny.
Amen.
Doesn't cost us our good works. We can't do it. But to be a Christian, to be a true believer, does cost. It does cost. It costs Jesus Christ His life. It costs God His only Son. So let's read this text very quickly and get into this very shortly. It won't take very long. It says in verse 25, "Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be My disciple." This very portion of Scripture tells us very plainly the cost of discipleship. I just have two things I want to bring out to you in this text. Number one, true believers must be ready and willing, if need be, to give up all for Christ's sake. We see that when Jesus tells us here in this text. It says to hate his own father and mother and wife and children. Now, let me explain something very quickly. Jesus is what is using in this text what we call hyperbole. And he does it throughout Scripture. He did it in Matthew 5:29. You remember the text where it says that if your right eye offends you, you pluck it out and cast it from you, so that it's better to enter into life with just that member gone than to go into hell with all of your faculties about you. And what Jesus is doing in that text is talking about the seriousness of sin. He says in verse 30, to cut your hand off if it causes you to sin and cast it from you. In other words, the sin is so serious that this is the extreme measure. It's not that you're actually going to pluck your eye out or cut your hand off. It's just that the seriousness of sin. And in this text, Jesus is talking about the seriousness of Him being number one in the believer's life. There is no one else. Jesus isn't first in line behind you. Jesus is first in front of you as you follow Him. There is no one that takes precedence over Christ. He is number one to a believer. He is the first and the foremost. And in many times, we see in this text, that many times as someone who is converted, the family members become parted by way of the gospel. The gospel divides people. As soon as saving grace enters into a family, many times there's what we call the collision of opinions. That's what happens. That's what happens when a believer is born again in the family. The mother and father may not be born again. Or the mother and father may be saved and the child's not born again. There is a collision of opinions that happens. And this cross that happens to be laid upon each one of us is different. Every one of us has a different cross laid upon us. It's tailor-made for your circumstances. And what happens is we have to remember that as we are disciples of Jesus Christ, that our firmness, our decisive actions, our commitment to Jesus Christ are the greatest acts of kindness that we could ever do before our family. You know, many times there's what we call gospel blockers in the family that want to keep people from being faithful to the church. They want to keep people that are Christians from being faithful to Christ. And that's what happens in families. But beloved, it's not true love to any of our lost family members if we capitulate on our commitment to Christ.
Amen.
That's not true love. That doesn't happen. There's going to be countless family members that will be thankful in that day when they've been brought to faith, when they stand in glory and they praise God, that you displease them because you were faithful to your Savior. To be faithful to Christ is to be faithful to God. And to be faithful to God shows that a person has been truly born again. That you forsake the world and you have Christ before you. This is one of the first and foremost things that you and I must keep in our forefront of our minds as we think about our decisions for Christ, is our commitment to Christ. And it will be that very thing that causes a lost family member to see your commitment to Christ, that they'll remember and say, yes, I'm so thankful that they stood firm for Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the second thing I want you to notice also is that those who are thinking of following Christ should be warned to count the cost. Beloved, it was for the multitudes that Jesus brought this out. And it was backed up by Jesus giving an illustration. He gave an illustration of what? Of building a tower. Of building something. And also of war. He gave this illustration. And it's to be a warning to the nominal Christian. And nominal Christianity is what? What is it? It's just in name only. It's not someone who is a true Christian. It's somebody just in name only. And we see that throughout all of the evangelical world, don't we? We see what is known as a cheap and easy grace that people use to say, well, I'm a Christian. I show up at church once or twice a month. I'm good to go. I check it off the list. But beloved, that's not Christianity. Christianity is being sold out totally to Christ. It's to be sold out for the gospel's sake. No matter who it hurts, no matter what happens, you are to be sold out to Jesus Christ for His sake, for the gospel's sake. This is what happens. We see it throughout the evangelical world. We see half-built towers. That's one of the biggest scandals throughout the United States of America. Half-built towers where people started following Christ, yet they fell away. What a scandal it is when a lost person says, well, I could be a Christian too. I don't have to do these things. It's not anything that any different than this person over here. But beloved, to be having just a half-built tower would bring scandal upon the church. It brings scandal to Jesus Christ. Someone who paid our sin debt. Would we not want to give our all to Him? Of course we would. Those who are truly born again do that. They give their all to Christ because Christ gave His all to you on the cross. This is what it is. They to come all the way to Christ, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us our sins. It's going to cost us our self-righteousness. It's going to cost us our pride, our ease, our comfort in this life. It's going to cost worldliness. All of those things. But the Christian, those who have been truly born again, gladly give those things up. We gladly give those up for the cross of Jesus Christ. Verse 27 says, to bear one's own cross, Jesus said. And what does that mean? Well, to bear one's own cross? In that day, you didn't have to explain it to those people. In the first century life, in the Roman rule, they knew what a cross was. They knew that it was a radical dying to self. That's what it means to bear one's own cross. You die to self. You die to your own loves and your own passions. And your passions are replaced with the ones that Christ has. It means that you've given up the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. You've given over to Christ is what it is. And that's what you and I do. And to some of us this morning, now, it may sound kind of negative a little bit this morning. It may sound kind of negative that all of this stuff we're giving up. But listen to me, beloved. I want to let me just tape the ends of this up and put a bow on it, because I want to leave you with just an encouragement very quickly. What you give up is you give up dirt for diamonds when you come to Christ. That's what you give up. Let me tell you something. You and I don't know the truth about what God can do for us in this life, even when we go through these valleys of affliction. I want to tell you something. I'd rather suffer in good company than to live an easy life surrounded by delicate men. And I want to tell you something. If I'm with you all, I'm suffering in good company. Amen? Listen to me, beloved. Jesus said this. What is eternal life that you and I get? It's this. This is eternal life, John 17:3, that they know you, the only Father, God, the only Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is eternal life.
Amen.
We get Christ in eternal life. We trade dirt for diamonds. And you and I have traded dirt for diamonds. And there may be someone here today that hasn't done that. There may be somebody here today that hasn't come all the way into Christ, committed their life to Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's on you. That's your decision. You have to do that if you want to be born again. And so I pray that today you would do that, that you would come all the way to Christ, commit your life, sell yourself out for Christ and for Him for eternity. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, we pray that you would just bless this time together. Bless the singing, Lord. And Father, when my brother Kyle gets up here, I pray, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of the word, Lord, that you would send forth your Spirit. And Lord, that the Spirit would manifest Himself here today, Lord, and that He would burst someone into the kingdom. Father, we beg this. Lord, show that person, Lord, their greatest need, Father, and that is Jesus Christ. Show them, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.